So the degree of metamorphosis is a bit of a curiosity. So I don't want to speculate beyond it. Since the apostle didn't know, I guess I don't know either. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You purify yourself just the way he is pure. How do you do that? By the word and by truth. Because it is faith in the word and the truth of God's word. Faith in those promises. Look at, Peter laid it out in his epistle. He said, they are given to us, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm not going to go there, I'm just going to quote from memory. They are given to us some exceeding great and precious promises, and that by those we are partakers, we may be partakers of the divine nature. And in this we give diligence. You know, so if I need to be pure, I don't know how to be pure. I don't know, how do you get a pure heart when your heart is filled with evil? How are you that are accustomed to doing evil going to start to do good? I will purify my heart by seeking God in the matter of the purification of my heart. Say, God, I have to have a pure heart to be like your son. If you would all want me, according to these promises, I know it has to be. Well, you know, honestly, I don't even approach God like that. I said, Lord, I am your son. Unless I'm going to be proven a liar, you have to do these works on my behalf. Teach me to do this. Show me the way, you know. Because there's a degree to which, you know, the works are done in us. And we do them. But God gives us the strength to do it, you know. He gives us the ability to perform the works. He doeth the works in us. He works our works in us. But when we live it, it's like we're doing it ourselves. Well, we got to never lose sight of the fact of where the real power comes from. People who start congratulating themselves, they will fall short of the glory of God. Because God is not going to be pleased with that. It's clear he wants us to acknowledge him in all our ways and to know where the gifts come from. So we purify ourselves. We become pure, just like he was pure. There's a degree to which we have to be forgiven, and his blood has to blot out our sins. And there's also a degree to which there's an expectation that we are to walk in righteousness from this time, from, you know, moving forward. Excuse me, I'm having trouble breathing here. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. The good definition of sin. Whether it be the law of your conscience, or the law of the Old Testament, or the law of the New Testament. The law of Christ. All those things define what sin is. Verse 5. Did you know this? You know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. You know, where it says, in verse 28 of the last chapter, little children, abide in him. When you sin, you're not abiding in Christ. You're stepping outside of Christ. Because in Christ, there is no sin. That's why this is one of the most absolutist chapters with regards to sin you will find in the Bible. Though I see it as absolute everywhere. John, his talk about forgiveness and his talk about if any man sin and so on and so forth at the beginning was merely a bit of a softening of the blow so that you would not utterly lose hope for what he's about to say. He doesn't want you to be daunted by the promises of God. But he was manifested that our sins could be taken away. Not just that he would hide us from the consequences of our sins, though he does do that, but also that he would turn us so that we would not sin anymore. That is the goal. That is what we are reaching for. Anything less, I am not willing to settle. If you're willing to settle for less, that's how God weeds you out. One way. So he was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. Are you in him? I'm in
Jesus.
Well, if you're in Jesus, you can't be sinning. Because in him is no sin. No, well, that just means him personally. Well, you... Exactly. Exactly. No, but you can be in Jesus and still be a sinner. No. Not according to this scripture. Look at verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, or if you abide in him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Oh, you gotta understand, Paul, this means to sin habitually. Well, no, any sin, even a single sin, is an act outside of Christ. You're not, see, people wanna say, like, well, I just had this moment where I believed and now I'm in Christ and that's good for every, you know. They don't like this idea of this sort of like, make your calling and election sure, be diligent. They don't wanna do that stuff. I don't want to be diligent to earn the favor of God. Because God favors me, diligence is something I have a great desire for. I want to be diligent. For diligence's sake. I want to be righteous for righteousness' sake. You know, I talk about these things as if these are the requirements God is laying on us. But these are the gifts which God has given us. The power to become the sons of God. Now those who reject these things are rejected. Those who do not accept these things are an abomination. Because it's like here they've counted the blood of the covenant wherewith God sanctified them as this unclean thing. I don't want that. I don't want to be without sin. And it's almost a sin to be without sin. They would make it so.